hear me? Awesome. You know, Henry gave a great lesson last week on spiritual growth. And I guess great minds think alike, because I want to be doing one on spiritual growth as well. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you just so much for this opportunity and the honor to give today's message. I pray that you do honor it, Father, that with the words that are spoken from me, God, that do please you. And I do pray, Father, that this lesson leads to a fruitfulness in all different types of ways. Thank you so much for your son, the sacrifice that he made for us, so we all could be here today to worship you. Pray this in your son's name. Amen. So, you know, I was kind of rewriting my lesson a little bit this morning, and I start thinking about when I was a teenager. It's amazing how your teenage years are only short, but they last a lifetime. And I just remember when I had really bad acne growing up, and it undermined and also impeded my confidence level. And it would clear up sometimes and would come back with a vengeance. And then it wasn't really until my 20s is when I started going to a dermatologist to take care of it. And I mean, why didn't I go earlier? People would be asking, how come I just didn't do something? And a lot of it has to do with the stubbornness, I think, and just laziness, just having to make an appointment. And also a lot of it had to do with just denial. I thought it would get better. And I just don't like going to doctors. So, you know, Christopher had a little bit of issue with acne there for a little bit. And most times when Christopher would have a health issue or some type of problem, had to go to the doctor, I would say, go see your mother. You know, Christopher would come home from school, I'm missing my arm, I can't find my arm, I'll see your mother, you know. But when I started seeing acne on him, I started reliving those moments of where my acne started giving me confidence problems. And I saw Christopher as being a confident young man. I didn't want him to that issue that I knew that could be taken care of to hinder him like it hindered me. And so that's why I kind of think about that as, you know, not wanting to grow spiritually. Not so much we don't want to, just that I think that we're in denial and we have a stubbornness that we don't want to spiritually grow. And I think especially for our church, you know, we are a small church, and I'm glad that Henry spoke about spiritual growth last week, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to speak about spiritual growth this week, because if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to grow numerically as a church, we're going to have to grow spiritually. And what does it mean by spiritual growth? And I just think about just how do we reach spiritual growth? And I just think about how we really need to kind of bring our weaknesses to the table. We really have to know where we are most vulnerable. I think about just like I have a hard time getting forgiveness to people. I hold on to a grudge forever. I played t-ball when I was 7 years old, and I wasn't picked to be on the all-star team, and I still hold a grudge to that t-ball coach. We need to really kind of let our weaknesses kind of hang out there. You know, I've never been a great public speaker, and I knew when I came to the Jackson Church that there would be no hype, and I knew that I would have to speak more often. So I just said, God, just use my weakness in communicating to people in public for your benefit. And I think that's what we have to do as a church. We just have to kind of throw our weaknesses out there to say, God, just use them as you will. So, you know, we can go to the dictionary and look up the word, growth, spiritual growth. You know, a lot of people, it's like the word joy or happiness, a lot of people kind of define these words a little bit differently. I think it's best just to go to the Bible. We have great examples of spiritual growth in our life. But let's go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. be there in a second. It says, Philippians 1, chapter 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God, he has a self-interest in you to be successful in growing spiritually. God wants us to grow spiritually. So it doesn't necessarily matter what we want. That's what God wants for us. But he gives us free will on whether we're going to choose to grow or not. And that means we're going to have to be vulnerable. So, I was talking just a few minutes ago about people in the Bible who I admire who grew spiritually. And then the first two people that came to my mind, I said, pick up one from the Old Testament, pick out one from the New Testament. And I thought about Moses and how he was content. I can relate a lot to Moses. And I love being left by myself. Being a shepherd sounds like a perfect job for me. You're left alone. You are herding sheep in different directions. To me, it's this ideal job for me. It's something very simple, very straightforward. I would love to be a shepherd. But God called me to be something more than I wanted to be. He called me to be to grow spiritually, to be more like him. We are made in the image of Christ, and God wants us to be more Christ-like. And I also thought about the centurion, and he was desperate. And Jesus was, in Matthew 8, Jesus saw, he was actually surprised by the centurion's humility. But I think a lot of it had to probably do with his training as a soldier. You're always called to better yourself as a soldier. So a lot of it had to do with being a soldier, but also a centurion who has a lot of respect in the community could grow to be arrogant. So maybe that's what surprised Jesus, that a lot of centurions that were there probably were just like, quite arrogant. But both of them fell under God authority, and they didn't reject God. So we're going to talk today about the different elements of spiritual growth. You know, we have the periodic table of elements is used to determine reactions when certain elements are brought together. And so this is what the sermon is basically just going to talk about the different elements of spiritual growth. And we all have areas to grow. It's not like I'm an expert at it. I had a sermon to do, and this is the topic that I picked. And it was really a great topic to study out because it really challenged me, and I hope it challenges you. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. So, choosing to obey the command of God to grow. We have free will that God has given us. Are we going to choose to obey God to grow? And if I don't choose the path of growth, I'll shrivel up and die. Now, I used to belong to this club called Toastmasters, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with the group Toastmasters, but they're worldwide, and it's a public speaking club. And I belong to this really great club. A lot of Toastmaster clubs are just okay, but this one was really good. The group was very dynamic, very diverse. Everybody had their own opinion, and people at the end of the group that we meet each week. We went away to still being friends. So it was a great experience for me, and I got to speak a lot in public. And I felt there was almost a feeling of I have arrived in a way. Well, I actually I went to a couple of events where I was picked to speak in a competition, and I came second in place of, it was more than two. There was like, I think it was like five people. I came in second place, and I got this little plaque. And I've been in sports my whole life, and I've gotten many trophies, but this little plastic plaque that I got second place in a tall tales contest, is something that is really, I hold dear to me. I will never throw it away, just because it's something that I had achieved, that I know that my communication skills were lacking. And then after I left that group, and the reason why I left is mainly is because it got difficult for me, and I just felt it was easier just not to show up. And instead of looking for more creative ways on overcoming my fear of speaking in public or reaching out to people, I just basically like, kind of like faded away. And so it was kind of like atrophy, if that's the word, where it just, I wasn't using these muscles, these fear muscles that I have in me when it comes to speaking in public. And after a while, it just kind of like, you know, it got easier trying to escape speaking in public. And, in Memphis, there's a lot of good speakers, so there's like no need there. But I know there's a need for people to speak more here, that we all need to participate. And so I'm just saying, you know, when I come to the Tri-County Church, I'm just going to just throw myself out there and see how God uses my weaknesses. So number one is choosing to obey God's command. So I decided to obey Jesus when it came to persevering with my weakness. So let's go ahead and turn to Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13. Says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. So you have to believe that you are capable of growth. You know, it's okay to, you know, obey God's command, but do you really believe that God can work through you to grow? And that's what faith comes in. You know, I saw, you know, going back to the the centurion, he grew from that experience because he put his faith in God that he could heal his servant. So do we have the faith that God is capable for our growth? I know it's easy to say, well, I've always been this way, I always will. And maybe in some degree, you might. There's some issues that we'll be always struggling with. But struggling is an important part, because you can help others when others are having the same issues that you're having. So let's go ahead and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So setting behavioral functions and congregational goals. Now, I am not a great goal setter, but there's a process to growing. And many times that process is developing good habits. Now, the word discipline scares me. It makes me run the other direction. I think that's why I like Moses so much, because his life was not that disciplined. I've never been a shepherd, but I just imagine someone walking around in an open field, you know, just herding sheep back and forth. To me, but I'm sure there's much more involved in that. But having the word discipline is not, you know, is nothing, something that doesn't interest me. But I know how to develop good habits. And so I know that after a third month of doing a certain thing, it becomes an ingrained habit. So I need to develop better habits. And that's taking really small steps to a larger goal. And I think many times people, when you compare yourself to a person who's already obtained their goal, it's easy to miss, you know, just the, making the small goals to eventually get to your larger goal. So whatever issue that you're trying to overcome, you're trying, you know, any kind of weaknesses that you have, you know, it is important to set small goals, functional, and it's really important also to involve other people. And so, and that leads us to go ahead and turn to Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are of us in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I always never thought of encouragement as a special gift, but boy, how was I wrong. You know, is encouragement is such a gift that someone could have, and especially, you know, when you meet together, it just is really important. So, getting the habit of meeting together, and also getting a habit to there to give and to encourage, is a great way to grow spiritually. And many times, what happens, you know, if you encourage somebody, they might, you know, without even realizing, you return a favor to help you as well with whatever weaknesses that you have. So developing habits to reach our goals. Maintaining positive attitudes about the value of our efforts. So let's go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, many times, you know, what we are as Christians, we're kind of like farmers. We're planting seeds, and our seeds doesn't necessarily grow like overnight. Many times it takes a season or two for our seeds to grow and blossom. And so until that, and with the faith of that seed growing, having a positive attitude of the value of our efforts is very important. And so just keeping optimism and being faithful and hopeful are just really things that we should really value. We all love being around a person who's optimistic, and it's all right to vent, but many times that venting can become a habit as well. So we really need to have a positive attitude. And so why don't we go ahead and turn to, we're going to talk about perseverance, to remain steadfast in our efforts. So go ahead, do me a favor and turn to Hebrews 10, verse 36 to 39. says in Hebrews 10, verse 36, 39, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised, for in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And by my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And shrinking back, you know, it's very difficult to rebuild. Sometimes we have to, though. But to shrink back and in God's will is, it could be very, again, very habit-forming. And we want to succeed. We want to finish the race. So persevering to remain steadfast in our efforts. And this is the last one. It's inspired by role models whose patterns we should follow. Let's go ahead and turn to Philippians 3, verse 17. Says in Philippians 3, verse 17, join together in the following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And I know there's a saying, give me a boy of 8, I'll give you a man of 40. We never stop needing role models in our life. I've had role models in my life. Most of them actually are younger than me. And if you could learn from that person, that's what's important. And it doesn't matter that the person's background. Everybody has different experiences. And just because they might be strong in that area that you want to be in, you might be strong in another area that they're not strong in. But I know for myself, I get really frustrated when I don't have a role model in my life to follow. And so I'm past 40. So we all need role models in our life. So I'm just going to go quickly over the hindrances to spiritual growth. I mentioned about lack of effort. Not developing goals. You know, it's like a knife. If you have a knife and if you don't use that knife, if you put it in the drawer, it will grow dull. But if you keep on using the knife, it will keep its sharpness. So it's very important to just, keep on keeping on with what you're trying to grow in. It's easy, again, to be spiritually lazy. And I know for myself, I like taking the pathway of least resistance. And I mean, on occasions that might be a good thing to do, but many times I find that the pathway of least resistance eventually ends up leading to more resistance. So also a discouragement. So we have lack of effort and then also discouragement. It's easy to be discouraged. I know when I isolate myself, I get really discouraged. So it's really important to be around people. A body of believers, and you don't realize how much help you're helping somebody when you do meet as the body and you do encourage people. I think I've mentioned my hiking accident before, but I've had my foot crushed by a boulder and I'm missing half of my left foot, and I learned that my toes, after my hiking accident, I had my little toe left. And I found that the only thing that was keeping my little toes straight was the other toes. Kind of use that as a metaphor for just the body, how it's very important that each person plays their part in the body. So discouragement can keep us from growing, and encouragement can keep us growing. So talk about lack of use. So we have lack of effort, discouragement, and lack of use. And let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews 2, verse 1. Must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Yeah, it's easy to drift away, especially when you're not using. I mentioned my example of going to Toastmasters. That's what happened to me. I drift away, and my attendance was getting spotty, and before I know, I wasn't coming at all, and no one knew I was missing. So just quickly, I would just talk about to ensure spiritual growth is becoming, you know, active in the congregation in this needs, you know, start a devotional program or a lesson series. I think about, you know, Richard does a great job with the warrior class. I've learned a lot, and I've got to know people much better for the class if we're all open, you know, just with our vulnerabilities and things like that. So it's been a great experience. You know, about our purpose, leading people to Christ, just practice constant self-examination. And I think that's what's different between us and the world. I think the world really lacks that. We, as a culture, I don't think we've examined our culture. It's just be blinding sometimes. But I just think that for us personally, to examine ourselves and just see where we're at, taking a reality check is a good thing. So there's a 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5 is the verse that talks about self-examination. So I'd like to conclude, it's sad, but you know, many Christians are miserable, you know, or have become just, you know, I don't know if they call themselves Christians, but any longer. But it's just people have become really lukewarm, and I know it's very challenging in this pandemic. You know, it's just that to getting together physically is difficult. But you know, we have other options. But you know, a lot of times this could lead to innovative ways to get connected and to grow spiritually. So in the bottom line, if you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, like in Galatians chapter 5, if you don't have love, joy, peace, you know, we all go through difficult times, and we're not happy, we're a bit blue. But in general, our disposition should be of the fruits of the Spirit. We should have love, joy, and peace in our lives, or we're doing something wrong. So rather than you know, be defeated by things which hinder our growth, you know, we need to make choices, and when the choice be grow in the Lord, people make choices to grow in all kinds of things. But I think the wisest choice, the most fulfilling choice, is to grow in the Lord. Believe that He will assist us in our efforts. I feel like, you know, no one likes to feel like they're alone. And God doesn't want you to feel like you're alone, but we have to be proactive in getting to know God. Set proper goals, develop habits that we, you know, and we're confident, or not confident, we're faithful that we'll reach them. Have a positive outlook, and keep on persevering, and also. Look towards role models for direction and inspiration. And, you know, and again, it's ultimately, you know, it's what God thinks. It's not what, you know, we think. What is God calling us to do? He's calling us to grow spiritually. And I'd like to end with this last scripture from chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 10. This is from the Amplified version. It says, "The thief comes only order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And I think that I remember a group of, we were having a meeting, and the person conducting the meeting, the minister, was asking people what do they like about being a Christian. And right away, my thoughts were just being a non-Christian for 35 years, I knew the difference between being a non-Christian and a Christian. I felt like I was living a full life as a Christian. And that's what we need to ask ourselves. What area are we not growing to fulfill our life and be more like Christ-like? God be the glory. Amen.